When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout, and the stands.
Hello and welcome back to the latest edition of the Post Game Podcast from the Blood Red Channel with me, your host Edward Kay. Tonight we'll be bringing you Jurgen Klopp's press conference, as well as Ian Doyle's verdict from the ground, and of course plenty of fan reaction following Tottenham Hotspur 2, Liverpool 1.
Well, it's all over here. Tottenham Hotspur and Liverpool's long 19-game unbeaten run has come to an end as they were beaten 2-1 by Tottenham in the Premier League here on Saturday evening. And if you think that that's summed up the game, then you've got another thing coming. Basically, this was a game that will be talked about long, long after Tottenham's wild celebrations at the final minute at their late winning goal have dissipated. And we basically will just start from the beginning. And Liverpool, they made one change from the team that beat West Ham at home in the Premier League last weekend. That was interesting because it saw Cody Gakpo. He was given a start up front in place of Darwin Nunez, who was on the bench. And also on the bench was Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was making his comeback after having missed the previous four games through a hamstring problem. And to be honest, Liverpool started pretty well. Tottenham obviously playing at home. They've had a good solid start to the season under their new regime. And Liverpool, though, had the first chance. It was Cody Gakpo, it was, who forced a save from the Spurs goalkeeper, Vicario, and basically the Tottenham goalkeeper then saved the follow-up from Robertson. Liverpool, well, not exactly being on top, they did quite well at that point, and they were more than in the game. And then things started to move away from them just before the half-hour mark, when Curtis Jones was sent off. This was the first of many decisions that a lot of people found a bit contentious during the game. Referee Simon Hooper, he'd initially given a yellow card when Jones went in for the challenge with Yves Bissouma, Tottenham midfielder. And he was then Darren England, the VAR, ref told him to go and have a look at his, you know, pitch side monitor. And the interesting thing is that when you watch the incident to full speed, both the players going for the ball, Curtis Jones gets his foot on the ball and his foot then rolls over the top of the ball and it hits Bissouma on his shin, studs first. So from that point of view, yeah, it was quite clearly a foul, probably yellow, but that was the correct decision. But when you saw it in slow motion and when the referee went over and looked at the screen, it was seen as a freeze frame in which it looked like Curtis Jones was deliberately stamping on Bissouma's shin. So it didn't take the referee very long to change his decision and basically give a red card for Curtis Jones. So Liverpool were down to 10 men. Tottenham then went ahead shortly afterwards through Heung-min Son, who likes a goal against Liverpool. It was set up by Richarlison, who got in behind Joe Gomez, who, by the way, was otherwise excellent. Low cross, and Son put it in. Liverpool, though, equalised 4 minutes into first half injury time. It's a good goal as well. Dominic Szoboszlai, who, you know, he's made a habit of contributing for Liverpool, and he's quite a driving force, as we've seen from these opening seven games in the Premier League season at least. Puts a diagonal ball to the far post. Van Dijk heads it down, back across goal, and Gakpo takes a touch on his chest, turns and blasts one in from pretty close range. Liverpool deserved that. But what did also happen in the first half is Liverpool, when the scores were level, goalless I should say, Liverpool did look as though they'd taken the lead when Salah played Diaz in and he took it into the bottom corner. Now, straight away the linesman put his flag up and at the time you thought, well, that's probably offside. Saw the replay, and we only saw one replay in the press box, and I don't know whether or not that was the same for anybody viewing at home, but I've got a feeling it might have been, given the fact that VAR had a very quick look at the decision and went, oh yeah, that was definitely offside, and they cracked on and we looked at it and went, that looks onside. And obviously as the game progressed on social media, there were images were taken, and I know some other broadcasters where they were having a look at it. So by the time the game's finished, it was pretty obvious that it was onside. And funny enough, as Klopp was, you know, talking about it in his press conference just shortly afterwards, when Klopp was still up and he was discussing other things, the PGMOL, they came out and said, yeah, it was a significant human error and the goal should have been allowed. That's, you know, Klopp said, well, that's no consolation for us, basically. You know, it doesn't help us. And he pointed to an error, a similar error that had happened earlier in the season when Wolves weren't given a penalty. against Manchester United and ended up losing 1-0. So there was that. Second half, Alisson Becker made two good saves at the start of the second half from Son and from James Maddison. He had a good game, and then the longer the game progressed, obviously Tottenham were always going to be on top due to their numerical advantage, and you could see that from certainly, that's to say, the start of the second half. But the longer that the half went on, the more that they seemed to struggle and, you know, run out of ideas. And Matip and Van Dijk, they both really stepped up, heading a lot of the way, getting a lot of blocks, and Liverpool kind of become a little bit of a threat themselves until Diogo Jota, who replaced Gakpo at half time, he gets himself sent off. First was a bit of a soft one on Destiny Udogie. He possibly caught him, but it did look as though the Tottenham player had fallen over his own legs, tripped himself up. But then there was no excuse in what Jota then did a minute later. He obviously was a little bit annoyed, or certainly was just battling for possession, and he overstretched, caught the same play when they were battling for the ball on the touchline, and was given a second yellow and then a red. So certainly from the point of view of the second yellow, there couldn't be any complaints, though the first one was a bit iffy. So Liverpool were down to nine, and anyone who knows anything about football knows it's very difficult to defend 9 against 11. The Reds were on the back foot. They made quite a lot of substitutions from that point on. Alexander-Arnold came on, Endo came on, Gravenberch came on, and Canati came on as well to help the defensive effort. And they just looked as though they'd just seen out their game, running out of ideas, and then, you know, Porro gets the ball on the far right, gets into the area, which in position he and others have been in many, many times during the game, blasts across low across the you know, 6-yard box, and the ball just takes a bobble as Matip's about to clear it. It hits him on the, I think it's just above his ankle, or just on his ankle, and goes into the roof of the net from about 4 yards. Nothing Alisson could have done. So, you know, Tottenham celebrated as if, you know, I mean, I know Liverpool scored a late winner against Tottenham last season at Anfield, which was celebrated, you know, pretty well, but this was of another order. It was almost as though Tottenham had, I'm not going to say won the league, but it was a little bit over the top. And I think it was probably more relief than anything else, because there were people walking out with about 2 minutes of the normal time to go, and I'm thinking, where are you going? You know, there's got to be loads of injury time. They score still 1-1, but that did show that they'd lost a bit of patience in the team, and Liverpool had managed to do that to them. But you know, Klopp spoke after the game. He said that he's very proud of the team, and he's right to say that as well, because Liverpool, you know, they once again show character. But, you know, I think Liverpool, they'd had four players sent off in nearly 5 years before the start of the season, and they just had four sent off in seven, they've opened in seven Premier League games. Now, they're not a dirty team, and you could kind of argue against three of the four. In fact, one of them obviously got overturned, the Alexis McAllister one against Bournemouth, but they're not giving themselves much of a chance if they're going to be playing so many times without the full complement of players. So that's going to be trouble for them. But then again, you know, it's not really helping them much if they're having perfectly good goals disallowed or chalked off, and then they're getting apologies later on in games where they got beat, where the goal would have been quite handy and would have probably changed the course of the game. So I think overall, well, it's disappointing for Liverpool that the, you know, unbeaten run has come to an end. Klopp himself said he'll take an awful lot of positives from this, and while it won't feel as though Liverpool are on the right track after, you know, the sore, we're feeling sore after this defeat, certainly on the journey back home, I think the away fans, they could recognise what the players had put in. They knew that the team had done well. They knew that they were right to feel aggrieved at some of the stuff that had happened. And I think Liverpool just have to make sure that they're not sidetracked by actually losing the game, because they've got another big game coming up next week in the Premier League at Brighton, and they could have gone top if they'd won here today with Manchester City losing. And all it's done is basically given everybody a reminder it's going to be close at the top, but also anybody watching this game will no doubt say that Liverpool are far better placed than Tottenham to actually have a crack at challenging Manchester City and Arsenal, who were the top two last season. But overall, disappointment, a lot of, not so much angst, but certainly a reason to be aggrieved, a little bit of disgruntlement, but no reason to feel downhearted. Liverpool have lost 2-1, but they can take an awful lot of positives from this game.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't think there's anything to say about the offside goal. I knew it half time. I in the first moment I thought it's clear offside, but then it is offside, so you try to think they have a better view. Half time we knew. With normal pictures, easy to see, no offside. But I'm pretty sure that whoever did that made that decision didn't do it on purpose. It didn't take extremely long to come to the conclusion. That's a bit strange, but that somebody else has to clarify that. I have nothing else to say about it.
But no explanation from. I know you wouldn't.
How can the ref explain the situation here? So the linesman thought obviously it's worth watching, looking again, and that's why he raised the flag. In the good old times, a linesman should have seen that as well, that this is no offside, because you had these situations quite frequently, and when you see it back, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. But again, nobody did it on purpose, so I cannot, again, whatever I say here, it just creates headlines but doesn't help the situation at all, so I'm not in that mood.
And just in terms of the performance, I imagine that's one of the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Told the boys directly after the game, I'm super proud, super, super proud. I think especially with 10 men, we were really good, really good. Did everything what was necessary really well. And on top of that, we were really dangerous. We created still. So that's good, top for us. Yeah, I red card for Curtis. Probably everybody here in the room thinks it's a clear red card. I see that different, just because I played football and most of you probably didn't. Hit full power on the ball, rolls over the ball, and then hits the decisive part of the leg. When you see it in slow motion, it looks horrendous. Or I think when you see it in real time, it's not even close to be that bad. So, but it's a red card, so. Yeah. But Curtis didn't do it, and they're not even close to on purpose. So for me, it's really important that nobody starts thinking, oh, we have so many red cards, so we are a kicking team. We are not. We don't. So the first red card from Alexis was not a red card. We had to play already with six, I don't know how long, without with 10 men. Second is for a normal foul, I would say. Third is now for that situation. And the fourth, I will never understand. How many games can you remember, 11-9? Do you watch? I watch a lot of football. It just doesn't happen that often. And we were not in the game and we're kicking Tottenham players. We are trying to play football. We defend it, yes. But the two situations, the first, I think, is clear not a yellow. Yeah, and the second, then I didn't see actually back, but it's not important. But if the second first no yellow, then it's the second a yellow maybe, and then we still play with 10 men. So that made everything difficult. But the boys made really the most of it. It was incredible mentality we showed. It was second to none. Never saw something like that. That's top, top, top. And now people might think because of this very, very unlucky own goal. Oh, my God. That we didn't get anything out of the game, I see that differently. I think I learned so much about my team, much more than we would have won here and in the middle of bad performance. It was a really outstanding performance in a specific way. We didn't get any points of it, but we will use it anyway. That's the plan. Biggest problem of the game, to be honest, and that's the next one. Before Cody Gakpo scored, did he get a yellow card for that foul? The guy who fouled Cody before he scored. We get a free kick, ball in, but then we scores. He got injured and he is now with a brace limping down the corridor. So that's my biggest problem, to be honest, in this moment. So we lost two and maybe the third player. Really bad, really bad. So yeah, that's something we have to deal with, obviously. I think it's not really not too important what I think about it, because my thoughts will change nothing. But if you look at it, and I think we agree all, it looks completely different. So the game is in real time, but we judge it in slow motion. That makes not too much sense in the first place. And still, if they wouldn't use slow motion, I think we would still not agree on a majority of the situations. It's just a different view. Yeah. It's really not my subject today, honestly. It's not my subject today. So whatever they do, they try to do it right, I assume.
But on that, I don't want to dwell on the offside, but PGMOL have just released a statement saying it was a significant error and a factual error. Does that...
Who does that help now? We had that situation in the Man United game. Did Wolves get points for it?
No.
Oh. We will not get points for it, so it doesn't help. I think the what everybody wants, that nobody expects 100% right decisions on field. But I think we all thought when VAR comes in, it might make things easier. I don't know why the people in the VAR, are they that much under pressure? Today the decision was made really quick, I would say, for that goal. It changed the momentum of the game. So that's how it is. We scored that goal. It was top, 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 outstandingly well played. In a game where you don't get a lot to feel better, so and then boop, you make that. That's a super important information. That's how we can hurt them. That's how we can beat them. Stuff like this. So it was super difficult, but the boys dealt extremely well with it. The killer of the game was the second red card, and a lot of other decisions. The ball Mo Salah wins back on the other side. I will never understand how you can. Oh, you make a foul of that. That's football. It's fantastic, high press, stuff like this. Player goes down, yeah. Oh. We went down against Leicester. Nobody whistled, and they scored a goal. So these situations, too many of them, where you think, it's football. Why would you do these kind of things? And I know it's really difficult for the referees in a lot of moments. I didn't know nobody should blame the ref for the offside goal. That's absolutely not his fault. But for a lot of other things, he's not out of responsibility, I would say. But that's it now. How is that? We didn't get a point. I think that would have been that what we would have deserved. Didn't get that. But I got a lot out of that game, and I will help the boys to feel that as well and to go from here.
Sam, last one.
Just on Gakpo, I mean, you hinted at how bad. I mean, you seem to suggest it is really bad.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. He wore a brace. He did. He scored a goal afterwards. But after that shot, he felt it even more. Obviously.
And it was from the foul, rather than.
Yeah, from the foul, of course. Before.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Well, defeats don't get much harder to take than that at White Hart Lane. An absolute sickener for Liverpool to concede in the 96th minute with the Matip own goal in what had been a really heroic effort from Liverpool down to 10 men and then 9 men against Tottenham for massive periods of the game. But ultimately, they just succumbed to Matip getting his body in all the wrong shape as the ball come across. And unfortunately, the ball then goes into the back of his own net, and some of the rear guard action, some of the way that Liverpool played, some of the individuals and the collective, really, the way they went about the tactical elements of the game when they went down to 10 and then 9 was outstanding in terms of how to manage them situations from the manager and the set of players. And that'll be a real sucker punch, a real sickener for Liverpool to take in the way it turned out and the manner of it. One thing you would say is that Liverpool has started the game pretty positively. Had the better chances within the game. I think Curtis Jones pressing as part of a front two almost at times when Tottenham were trying to build up into the sort of midfield of the pitch was creating situations where Liverpool could win the ball back and get into some dangerous areas. I thought the tactical setup was really good in that sense against the Tottenham side, who had been confident coming into the game, and they could see through Basuma in midfield a player who they were really trying to progress the ball through and a player in massive amounts of form and a high level of technical ability to be able to move that ball forward as well. But I thought Liverpool garnered some success from the way they went about it early and potentially could have been in the lead with a better final pass, a better decision in that final third. But then obviously the key moment of the game came with Curtis Jones' red card. And listen, people say that this decision is a poor decision. However, in the modern game, there was no question when I seen the replay that it was going to be given as a straight red card. This idea that people are saying, well, he's got to go in for the ball, he's got to go in and win the ball. He doesn't have to go in and win the ball. That is the situation that the player finds himself in. Jones has got a decision to make in that moment in time. He can either delay and hold his position, decelerate and accept that Tottenham have got the ball in a pretty unthreatening area and are probably going to recycle it. Or he can try and win what is probably a 50-50 ball or 60-40 ball, whatever it is, by attempting to jump into the situation. I don't mean physically jump, I just mean jump at a unit of the team to apply pressure on the ball. And by doing so, what he did was he stretched for the ball with his studs forward. And unfortunately, in making contact with the ball, he also rolled his foot over the ball and made contact with the shin of the Tottenham player. And it ended up being there's no question, it's a leg-breaking challenge. Now, there's no question that Jones doesn't mean it, but intent is not a factor in the modern game in terms of the rule book. The fact of the matter is, Jones, once he's made that decision and he's going in aggressively with force to try and win the ball, outstretching, it takes it out of the control of the player. Incidents like that, unfortunately, can happen, and he doesn't mean to do it. It's by no fault in terms of anything that he's tried to do the player or, you know, commit a serious foul. Not at all. He's just going in to try and win the ball. But unfortunately, because of the movement and the momentum of going forwards, outstretching for the ball with the studs, and the fact that the foot then rolls across the ball, he endangers the safety of the opponents. And that is the modern game. And, you know, you'll find people coming on the TV and referencing, well, I don't think it was. But the simple fact is, they're not doing the research on the rules of the game at this moment in time. And Jones does not have to. If I hear that Jones has to go in for that ball, he's only looking to challenge for the ball, absolutely. But he's got a decision. He can hold. He can go about it a different way. He doesn't have to apply that pressure. He doesn't have to outstretch. And ultimately, that has led to the sending off on a red card. Not because he's meant it, but that has been the outcome, because once you stretch, once you make the calculated decision to try and win that ball, and unfortunately the ball moves slightly or the foot goes on top of the ball and you end up with your studs in the position that he was, it changes the outcome of what can happen. And unfortunately it changes the outcome of what Liverpool could conceivably do within the game. And so even with that said, however, I felt Liverpool did magnificently with 10 men. And they really had an opportunity in my mind to actually, as silly as it sounds, still go on and win the game, much like they did against Newcastle. I know they were prepared in Darwin Nunes before they went down to 9 men. And I was so frustrated at the times when they got the ball in good areas in the final third and just didn't have the quality to provide the final pass to the on-running player or the moving target that they had, because they got into good areas. Tottenham were not managing the game effectively whatsoever, and it was allowing Liverpool opportunities, few and far between, however, but still allowing them opportunities when they could potentially hurt Spurs. And then comes the second incident, which Diogo Jota ends up getting 2 yellow cards. Now, the first one, I just thought was a certain yellow card when I first watched it, because I felt Jota's took one for the team. He's seen that Tottenham are making a counter. He's got caught the wrong side of the ball. And simply what he's tried to do is make his movements across the on-running Tottenham player towards the goal to be able to trip him up and concede a foul in a non-dangerous area and basically slow the play down. Now, I haven't seen enough of the replays to suggest whether that is the case or it isn't, or whether the Tottenham player's clipped his own heels or whatever it may be. Either way, obviously the ref may or may not have made a decision or may have made a mistake on that one. But I think watching it initially on the TV screen, I mean, it just looked a straight yellow card. And as I say, Jota had sacrificed himself in that moment. Now, after that, however, what comes after that and Jota's decision, it's totally unacceptable as a professional footballer. You cannot react in the manner that Jota did a couple of minutes later and put your teammates in a situation where they are then having to play out the last 20 or 25 minutes, whatever it was at that stage, with nine men. It's just totally unacceptable. Lack of professionalism, and I think it's one of the worst things a professional can do, because basically you're just hanging your teammates out to dry. Totally unnecessary. Caught in the heat of the moment, diving in, lunging, if you're a teammate of his, he's got some apologising to do in the dressing room about that game's turned out, because realistically, it not only stopped Liverpool potentially getting 3 points with a smashing grab, but also put them in a situation where now they've ended up losing all 3 points and playing out in a situation that no team should ever have to defend it against, with eight outfield players and a goalkeeper. So for me, the big loser from today's game is Diogo Jota, because that is totally unacceptable. Now, in terms of the rest of the Liverpool performance, I was massively critical of Jurgen Klopp last season. I felt some of his coaching decisions, as good as manager as he's been, as good a coach as he's been, and one of the elite tactical managers, make no mistake, in Europe for the last few years, I felt that sometimes, at times, Liverpool were absolutely all over the place, both with and without the ball last season. And arguably, before the change in system and the towards the back end of the season, where they gained some stability, I thought Liverpool were one of the worst coached teams in the Premier League last season, which is an unbelievable thing to say. But one thing I must say is, that was excellent tactical management when Liverpool went, especially when they went down to nine men. The narrowing of the pitch by bringing the three players inside and allowing Tottenham to have, well, limited space in the spaces that they realistically wanted it. So the space was in between, on the outsides of the central midfield players in the half spaces. But Liverpool's ability to shuffle and provide pressure on the ball, cover and support was ideal, really, because what it did is it shoehorned Tottenham into areas where they couldn't get a direct shot at goal because bodies were actually getting in the line of the ball and forcing them into as many non-dangerous areas as realistically you can with nine players, eight outfield players. And of course, Liverpool was still indebted to Alisson again with two magnificent saves. I can't say anything else about this player. I seem to mention him every single week, but that was always going to happen. I felt for the large majority of the time, Liverpool actually coped very, very comfortably with what Tottenham had to throw at them. And that's why the end result and the way it played out will absolutely sicken Liverpool. Of course, Klopp will try and take the positives from the game and in how they performed and how they hung in there. But right now, that won't be much consolation. But yeah, I felt that Liverpool, in the way that they set up tactically, I felt it was really, really positive from the manager. I felt good changes at key moments. Just a little bit for me, I think one thing I was slightly disappointed about, as I've mentioned before, was Liverpool's use of the ball in the final phase. I know it's not easy, I know legs are tiring, but at times, just that little bit of quality to be able to find a player and play someone in. And right at the end, Ryan Gravenberch in the corner, a little bit of professionalism, a little bit of know-how. He's in the corner. You don't keep the ball in the corner. Try and knock it off one of the defenders. By time, he tries to wriggle away, turn a player, and all of a sudden he's out the game and Liverpool having to recover the position. And ultimately, that's what led to the ball being shifted wide, a ball then coming into the penalty area, which Matip can't sort his body shape out in his feet. So that, they're only little details, but they are big details. You know, you'd also had an opportunity after that where one of the Liverpool players could have potentially made a foul in the middle of the pitch and stopped Spurs' momentum at that time and trying to overload and be in a situation where they could go from back to front quickly while Liverpool were recovering. So ultimately, an absolutely sickening afternoon. I think one of the worst parts is it didn't give you an opportunity to see what level Liverpool currently are at for a longer period of time, because I think that was developing into a really interesting game and in Liverpool's favour potentially as well. So yeah, tough one to take for Liverpool today.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Steve Dawson on Liverpool's 2-1 loss in North London. First thing I want to say is I'm annoyed about a lot of things today. How can Tottenham celebrate like that at the end? Like they've won the league. I think Postecoglou got it right. Sort of a modest celebration, if at all. They got the 3 points. They should be happy with it because Liverpool made it tremendously difficult for them. The officials made it pretty easy for them. But you can't beat nine men until the 96th minute, courtesy of an own goal. I'd be embarrassed to celebrate in the way that Son and the rest of them were at the end there. Anyway, what a crazy game, and what an effort, you know, by the players that remained on the field. They almost came away with it. I've supported Liverpool for long enough and seen enough success to never be happy with a draw. I've never, that I can remember anyway, never been happy with a draw in the Premier League anyway. But I would have taken that. As soon as we went down to nine men, I certainly would have taken the draw, and it looked like we were going to get it. Before it all started to go wrong, I think Spurs were not quite up to the pace of our passing, and we looked as if we were going to just nudge ahead in terms of dominance. We looked strong. And then the Curtis Jones incident. This is a difficult one. It's not really objective. I think opinions come into this. But it seemed to me like enough of the ball was involved. And by that, I don't mean he got the ball, therefore it's no foul. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying enough of the ball was involved to redirect the foot in the challenge. And therefore, the ultimate contact was worse than it looked, in the sense that it wasn't intentional. The contact that looked bad was as a result of Curtis Jones' contact with the ball. It just rolled on and into the ankle of the player, and yeah, it was ultimately a nasty looking challenge, but I think yellow was enough. I didn't think red was quite justified. And then the Diaz goal. Now the first thing that struck me about all of this is that they made the decision very quickly, and we didn't see the lines. Now, by the time you hear this, you may have seen the lines, and it may be conclusive one way or the other. But here's my theory as I speak, 5-10 minutes after the final whistle. I think there was probably a mix-up in communication between the referee and the video assistant referee giving a goal when they actually hadn't yet reviewed it properly. Because it was too quick, the decision was made too quick, particularly given how close it was. I haven't seen the lines. And I now have, in terms of offside, as I've said before, perfect, I've got total faith in VAR's ability to make the right decision with offsides. But I don't think VAR became active. To the naked eye, Diaz looked onside. Not just his boot, but the shoulder. If you drop the line down from the shoulder, to me, he still looks onside. I think we'll hear more about this. The officials were poor. Anyway, I think it wasn't a dirty game. It was feisty. It was hard fought. But the number of yellow cards given, that in itself is not a problem, I think, for the officials. But I don't think the referee had total confidence in his ability to make the right decisions as the game went on. Jota sending off. And not a problem with the second yellow card. That was certainly a yellow, but it was barely a foul for the first yellow card. I mean, there was an accident. If you look at Jota's eyes, he's not trying to trip him up. But there is contact. He catches him. And then because of the contact, Tottenham player's leg bumped into his other leg and he fell over. All right, free kick. Okay. But it's not yellow. And then, especially with City having lost earlier in the day, it's a late finish here in Singapore. I'm speaking to you at 2:42 in the morning. I was all ready to go to sleep, perchance to dream, but yeah, we've had that rug pulled from underneath us. I think we saw plenty of battle, plenty of fight. It was really good to see the players on the verge of what would have been an heroic point. I really feel for Joel Matip, but he's a big boy. You could see beyond the initial anger and frustration, he wasn't quite ready to take the condolences of his teammates. He was already over it. He was already a big enough boy to deal with it. He'll be back and that won't be an issue. I remain confident that we can do good things this year. At Gulasahi on Twitter, GULASAHI.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.